What are we going to talk about today? I got a bunch of stuff. I'm going to try and cram a lot of stuff into the show. Later in the show, I'm hoping to talk a little bit of Leafs, maybe how Phil Kessel is looking like a bit of a dud. Bob Cole, the hockey play-by-play guy, should have retired a few years back. The Pepsi cheer, the Pepsi Olympic cheer that they're trying to thrust down our throats is stupid. Tiger Woods and golfers are not athletes. I'll talk movies. We don't need to be told how to cheer, especially by a multinational soda pop company. How about the classic Canada, 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 Canada? Is that not good enough? Aren't cheers supposed to be spontaneous? Although I think what will turn out happening is this cheer won't be adopted and probably won't be heard out of the mouths of anyone but people who are paid by Pepsi. Canadians, I think, are too smart to use this manufactured cheer. Okay, I got to talk about this. This is I don't normally get into politics a ton. The weird thing is in the past few, I guess, past eight and a half years, ever since George W. Bush came to power in the U.S., I've sort of followed U.S. politics more than I have Canadian politics. Though now, Canadian politics with Harper at the helm have become very much like U.S. politics, and Harper has become very much like George W. Bush. And for me, Harper is a Canadian embarrassment. I don't know where to start with this guy. Probably with his most recent actions. This past week on New Year's Eve, which is a classic Republican strategy, put bad news out on a Friday, or in this case, going into a long weekend. For the second time in 2 years, he's proroguing Parliament, which means he's basically putting off Parliament getting back to business for an extra month and a couple of days. So instead of going back to work on January 25th, the members of Parliament will go back over a month later on March 3rd. And the last time he did this, it was to keep in power. There was a coalition getting together. The Liberals had joined the NDP, and they were all geared towards taking away his power because he had been abusing it for many years. This time, it's to avoid being held accountable. There's a lot of questions being raised about Canada's complicity in turning captives over to the Afghans, and the captives have ended up being tortured. So that's the fact. But the question that remains is how much did Canadian authorities know about these tortures before they happened? Did they know that handing these detainees over, they would be tortured, or were they oblivious to it? And a whistleblower stepped forward, and right away, the Harper team were on it as, "Oh, he's a traitor. He can't be trusted." And there's also people who will say, "Well, the soldiers are doing the best job. You know, we can't worry about these things." That's not the Canada I know. Canada's always been seen as a fair, basically in a world full of crazy countries, along with some of the, you know, your Switzerland's, your Sweden's, and those type of countries, Canada's often seen as the level-headed country, the peaceful, the peacemakers, the country that does things right. And torture is not right, and no one's blaming the soldiers. I think the blame mostly is going to the higher-ups. But regardless of how you feel about whether this did or didn't happen, Harper, when the questions were raised, instead of supporting a committee that's investigating the claims, he decides, well, you know what? There's a lot of criticism. I'm going to shut down the Parliament for an extra month and a bit so that he doesn't have to be held accountable. And to this date, until he went to the step of proroguing, his policy was to attack the messenger, Richard Colvin, and made such statements as, you know, whoever supports an investigation is supporting the Taliban, or you don't support the troops. I support the troops. I feel terrible, you know, when I see the headlines or on the television, you hear of the troops being hurt. Ideally, we would bring them home, but I also support an investigation into this because Canada doesn't torture. We are not a nation of torturers. And so instead of supporting an investigation or looking into this, he basically prorogues so that while the parliament is prorogued, there's a committee that's investigating the torture claims. Well, because parliament is prorogued, that committee will be dissolved. So basically Stephen Harper doesn't have to face any kind of opposition or criticism, and he can just kind of hope that the Olympics being held in Canada will take people's attention away from the fact that he is acting like a total and utter dictator. Hopefully, and I'm starting to see it a little bit grassroots-wise on Facebook and in newspaper editorials, hopefully he is taken to task. Hopefully he can't show his face in public without people questioning him or booing him or trying to hold him accountable. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just one thing in his long litany of bad governing for the Harper and the Conservatives. When he returns from this prorogue, he's set to appoint five new cronies. So five guys he's very friendly with. He's going to appoint them as senators. And this from a guy who vowed to, quote, never appoint an unelected senator. He always felt that that was cronyism and he was bringing in reform to the government. And I won't stand for that kind of attitude where we bring in our friends. This is going to be reform. And the list goes on and on. He's also a lot like George W. Bush in the fact that he tries to keep the media at bay and is very kind of evasive when it comes to facing interviewers or the media. He always tries to avoid them. And he also vowed to reform elections in Canada by having a fixed election date. So in the past, prime ministers could call an election on a whim. At any kind of time they like. There didn't have to be, you know, every 4 years there wasn't a set election. It was, well, if 2 years go by and I'm doing quite well, I'll call an election so that I can stay in. He vowed to reform that. He said, we're going to have fixed election dates. And he broke that rule as well in the last election. And he'll likely do it again later this year. Just a reminder, if you want more information on the show, if you want to leave a comment or you want to get involved, maybe do an interview, whatever the case may be, the best place to go is joshholidayshow.com. Josh Holiday, not an A, an O. Excuse me, I just burped. .com. And you can check everything out there. You can find old episodes and that type of thing. And there's also a link to iTunes. That's a new pirate service. The iTunes, where we break songs down into tones, and then they're peer to peer shared, and then your computer reassembles the tones into songs. No, iTunes is the program where you can now find the Josh Holiday Show podcast, and that's what it's called on there, and it's marked explicit. So if you have kids or you make sure, parents, that you supervise your kids if they are to listen to the show so you can explain the finer details of what was said to said kids, whatever that means. While we are on the topic of hockey, I will talk about the Maple Leafs. And I've talked about them in the past. Because I'm a fan, I have the disease. Sometimes it goes into remission and the Leafs are doing well. Sometimes they're bad, but the disease is always there. I can't stop being a fan, no matter how terrible they play. And I was at the beginning of the year, I thought it was great. Brian Burke's coming in. He's making some changes. He wants to make the team tougher, grittier, which is my kind of team. I like the fights, the hockey fights. I like the hard hitting. I like people who are passionate and finish their checks. Just watching the junior hockey this week, the junior World Junior Championships, it's really nice to see pretty much every player finish their check and finish it hard on every shift. It's a bit of a change from the NHL on some days. And so I was excited about that. And I was all prepared to lose more games than we won, because we're in a rebuilding process. And I had accepted that. And I thought, you know what? As long as I'm watching an entertaining game, you know, lots of hits and maybe some fights and maybe a young team that tries their best and not these, you know, veterans who are slacking, then I'm okay with that, because if we finish low, we'll get a really, really good first-round pick. And you look at the teams that have been successful of late, your Pittsburgh Penguins, your Washington Capitals, and now the Islanders are starting to pick up steam. In the past, you look at teams like Tampa Bay with Vinny Lecavalier, St. Louis, or St. Louis, I should say. These are teams that had a few bad years and had very high draft picks, often number one draft picks, and they have built around those picks. The Leafs, on the other hand, for the past couple of years, have had this in-between thing where they were just good enough to either make the playoffs or just good enough not to make the playoffs. So the team didn't make any trades at the deadline to try and get younger talent, because they thought, oh, we might have a chance, we might have a chance. So the Leafs would end up getting picks right in the middle, like your fifth in the first round around the 15 mark, where talent isn't as sure. There's not as much of a surety of those players being impact players in the NHL. So this year, the past season, Leafs finished, had a pretty poor finish. They were seventh last. So they had the seventh pick. They tried to move up, but the seventh pick, which is not bad in the first round. We got Kadri, who seems like a pretty decent prospect. He's playing quite well and looks to have a bright future. And that was great. And I thought, well, he's not really the centerpiece of a team going forward. And so I was of the mind that, yeah, that's fine. This year we might tank, we might do bad, and we might get another, you know, fifth to seventh round pick. But the way the team was playing early on, it looked like we would finish dead last and maybe get a crack at the number one pick. At this point, it looks like Taylor Hall is the top candidate for that pick. So it looked like, all right, this is all right. We're in rebuilding. As long as the games are entertaining, the fans will be understanding. But here's where the hitch comes in. Brian Burke decides to make a trade. He could have put an offer sheet out for Phil Kessel. Phil Kessel wasn't fitting in Boston, and there were issues, and he was unsatisfied. He wanted to get out, and Brian Burke could have put forth an offer sheet. I believe it was a first, a second, and a third round pick. But rather than that, he actually made a deal with Boston that he would give two first round picks. So a first round this year, first round next year, and a second round in the year following. So that's a lot of high picks to be giving away. And Kessel, he's had a good season or two, but he's had some injury troubles, and there's sort of rumors about him being an unsettling presence in the dressing room and a bit streaky. So when he came to Toronto, there was a lot of skepticism. I was skeptical, but then the first bunch of games when Kessel came, he was sort of on fire and he was playing quite well, and that was great. And I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe we skipped the whole development phase, and Kessel was a first round pick, and he's still pretty young. We've got him for quite a number of years, so it's not all bad. It's like getting a first round pick who's all ready to play. But lately, I think we're seeing more of the true Kessel as a player, and it's not a nice thing. I like goal scorers. I like people with offense, but Phil Kessel is incredibly soft. Like every game I've been watching, he won't finish checks. He never wins a puck battle. He'll go in with another opposition player, and he'll always come away without the puck. He'll turn away from checks. He'll avoid being checked to make the play. And his latest thing is he'll come in over the blue line and stop right away, looking to get a pass or put it deep. And almost every time he's done it, he's been stripped of the puck, and it often ends up in a chance going the opposite way because he stopped just inside the opposition blue line. And they've also put him on the power play. And before Kessel came, Toronto was doing okay on the power play. They were a bit hot and cold, but they were doing okay. They were actually ranked, I think they were ranked number one for at least a day or two. And Kessel came along, and right away they put him on the power play, and everyone tried to focus on getting him the puck and getting him to quarterback things. So if someone had a shooting opportunity, rather than shooting, they'd send it back to Kessel. And I just he just doesn't seem to have the vision or the quarterbacking ability that the Leafs have put on him. He sort of, stays along the sideboards and tries to get out at the points, and oftentimes makes high-risk passes that get picked off by the opposition. And they keep putting him out on the power play, despite the fact that even the coaches acknowledge that, well, ever since Phil Kessel's been on the power play, we've suffered because everyone wants to get on the puck. Well, I don't think you can blame the other players. Who knows? It's the Josh Holiday Show podcast. You can get us on iTunes. Visit the website joshholidayshow.com and more next week. Thank you very much for listening, and please spread the word about the podcast. The more subscribers we get in the iTunes, the better, and I appreciate it all. Thanks a lot. Have a good week.
Oh, nice. So that said, why do you think the raising of chickens is illegal in Toronto?
I think that people have a lot of unfounded fears about chickens. It's certainly less impact than having a dog.
Mm-hmm. And what about vet visits? Are you able to just pack them up and take them to the vet?
Well, I haven't done that yet, although one of my chickens had a cold last summer, and it was getting to the point where, it was going on and on. She was clearly really congested and sneezing. And
really?
Yeah.
I guess I'm too much of a city boy, but I've never heard of a chicken sneezing.
I know. Well, I even convinced myself that her voice was, congested.
Yeah, she's
that her walk had a bit of nasal congestion to it. It was quite funny. And there was, things really got out of hand when she sneezed on my shoe one morning. And, there was all kinds of mucus on my shoe. And I just thought, okay, I've got to do something here. And I contemplated putting her in my cat-carrying basket and taking her on my bike to the vet. And then I thought, well, that might be a bit hard on her. So, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll take her on the subway. I thought, well, that might be a bit weird too. So I phoned a farmer friend and said, what would you do in this circumstance? And he said, you just need vitamin boost, and mailed me some.
Oh.
And I put that in their water for a week, and it cleared up.
If only it was so easy for us.
Yes.
Cure the common cold. And what about the actual production?
I get about 18 eggs a week from three hens.
Late last week, the British social etiquette advisor, Debrett's, this is kind of like a Miss Manners, but British, they issued 5 golden rules for using Facebook, which I use all the time. And these are their 5 rules. You don't have to make friends with people you don't know. Think before you poke. Number 2, wait 24 hours before accepting or removing someone as a friend. The delay will help you gather your thoughts. Number 3, birthdays, engagements, and weddings are not virtual events. Always send cards or phone friends when there's an important event. Number 4, think before posting a friend's photo what you would feel like if it was you. And 5, think carefully about your profile picture. Would you want it to appear in your local newspaper? Those are their rules. And I got thinking over the weekend, my rules. Josh Holiday rules for Facebook, and here they are. And I welcome your contributions as well. It's up on the blog, and I'll take your calls as well. Applications, no more than 15 applications, and even that's quite a bit. If you add an application, don't invite every single person on your friends list. I don't give a crap what type of cat I am. The reason MySpace died is partly because there was too much junk on people's pages that took it forever to load. Profile pics. No shirtless pics. That's an automatic douche, unless it's unflattering and or ironic. If you're in a couple, this doesn't mean that you share a profile. You're still individuals. Profile pics as a couple, ultra lame, unless you just got married. Celebrate your independence. Also, as with any picture, flashing any kind of hand signal, devil horns, finger, etc., is tray lame. Status updates. No more than 3 a day, max. Too many people change them on a second-to-second basis. Emma is eating candy corn. 3 minutes later, Emma enjoyed the candy corn. 10 minutes later, Emma feels sick to her stomach. Also, if you have a gripe with one specific person, email them or write on their specific wall. Caitlin thinks you are a total bitch. Makes no sense to anybody but one person on that person's friends list. Grammar counts. No is. No, Caitlin is wants to hang out tonight. When tagging, use your discretion. If I look terrible in a picture, which is most of the time, let me tag it. Poking, if someone doesn't return your poke, if you do have to try it again, wait a week. Poking is like flirting. It's always a little strange when guy friends poke you. And that was it for mine. And then I already got a comment on the blog. Mike says group emails, and I totally agree with him. I hate being in on the replies and all that stuff with group emails. And finally, if you add a person to a group or add them to an event or an application and they reject it the first time, don't keep plugging away. Take the hint the first time around. If you've got more, 238-X929 or visit the blog at x929.ca. Josh Holliday on X929. Hello, X929, Black Keys, Strange Times. See, I could be a guitar. If I wasn't in radio.
Was that what that was?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
It's like a lower range guitar. It's not like the that nee 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 nee. Because I can do that too.
You don't sound like a guitar.
What? Don't spoil my dreams of becoming a guitar.
There are people that sound like better guitars than that.
If I get out of radio, I'm going to try and get a job as a guitar.
Okay.
And guys, well, I'll have to lose some weight because I don't want to break guys' backs when they strap me on. But I definitely want to be a guitar at some point.
Okay.
Oh, thank
you. Good luck.
It's Josh Holliday here, and I'm just walking around on the streets, as I'm sure anyone who walks around downtown, you get this, all kinds of panhandlers. And we've talked about this before, and I've sometimes seen guys give a panhandler like a five or something, you know, these business guys, and maybe makes their conscience a little bit lighter, but you're not helping. And it was reinforced. I watched an episode of Intervention a couple of weeks ago where there's this guy who was like total heroin addict, but really, really charming when he was panhandling. He had his regular spot and he'd go and he'd panhandle there and people would be like, oh, okay, give him some money. Thinking, oh, you're helping out a guy who's homeless maybe to get some food and stuff. But as it turns out, he would take that money and right away get some drugs. And I'm not saying every person who's a panhandler in the streets of Calgary uses their panhandling earnings to get drugs. But there's definitely a drug problem, and there's also some psychological issues. And by giving money to panhandlers, you are encouraging bad behavior. Big fan of Desmond Morris, who's a anthropologist, and he deals with people watching, animal watching. And it's similar to – I was at Folkfest over the weekend. There's signs by the river saying – do not feed the geese now because it will kill them in the winter because you are encouraging the geese to stick around. And you're doing the same with panhandling. You're slowing the process of them seeking out service agencies to get help because they don't need it. They're getting money. And that's like, oh, well, I'm being rewarded for hanging out here asking for money. So I am saying to you, please do not give money to panhandlers. I'm not trying to be cruel or anything. You can give your money to social service agencies, you can get a tax write-off, but by giving money directly to people who are asking for it on the streets, you're encouraging more people to be on the streets asking for money, and you're encouraging them to continue their bad behavior.
The holiday's not over. More Josh Holliday in for Marsha Lederman.
Josh!
Calm down.
How can I... Josh!
All right, I'm right here. Toxics 40, 870-6400 or Star Chat at Star 2428 on your cell phone. And that's from the Blair Witch Project. That was drove me crazy. I was watching in the theater and you're hearing your name being screamed constantly. Not that I'm not used to it or anything. Hi-yo! I know. That's very sad. Okay, we're going to talk to Cindy right now. Cindy, you're on Toxics 40.
Hi.
How are you?